So we want to look at the Ritva there, and that's Rashi and Tosas, of course. The Ritva, I think it's Zimra Maskel Mai Shana, the Tosas Rid, Zimra Maskel Amar of Safra, and Yerushalmi, and the Rabbeinu Chananel as well. That's on Kum Parish, Shemin HaShabbos, and so on. Then on the Amud Beis, on the Shaka Batari of the Gemara, Helim Zeb Zeb Yado, Mai. And the Balamor, again, when we spoke on some Chesom Beis, I think Chaim read a little piece of that Balamor, but let's look at it again. The Chidushi Haraban, that large one, we saw the end of it, but we should see the rest of it. What is the real Dibra Maskel? Iyomer's Bishlomo, is it? What did I say, Elam Kane or something? Okay, so again, it's Iyomer's Bishlomo. So see that. And of course, again, Rashi and Tosas and the Sugya. Compared with also the sugya in Shavuos, Yud Tesla Med Aleph, Chavava Med Aleph, and the parallel, if you get a chance, the Yerushalmi in Shavuos, Gimel Hay, and the Ramban in Shavuos, Dibur Maskel Amar, I think it's Rabbi Eliezer, it's hard to read my own handwriting, and the Ritva there as well, Dibur Maskel Ha, and Tosa Rosh, also the Sugin Shavuos Daf Yud Tesam Aleph, and Tosis there as well, and the Gemara in Horios Beisam Aleph, which we're going to speak about a little bit today as well. So that's Klum Parish and Helim Zev Vezeh, and that'll bring us up to Ayinam Beis Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph. The next big sugya after that is the sugya of Gerera, and the combination of Shigas Shabbos and Shigas Melachos. You can see there's a certain progression in the topics, and then we just going to have to speak a little bit about Yedios a little bit more. Yedios with regard to the requirement of Karban generally, and in terms of Chiluk Yedios, that's a topic we touched on but haven't really discussed much. And that will get us to, pretty much Ayin Beis, where we do, where we start into Misasek, and then that's already the Yonim of Malach Machsheva, a little bit. Okay. The last thing we discussed was the Zadon Shabbos and the discussion between, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam and the Chachmin Elil and the interpretations of Kesef and Lacha Mishnah. I think that's, that left us with some challenging issues to ponder, especially the three views as to whether or not a person who has some sense of their being Malachos, maybe even Lamed Tes Avos Malachos, but he's wrong about every single one of them, whether or not that constitutes Zadon Shabbos, whether that is Zadon Shabbos and Shigas Malachos, or it's not even Zadon Shabbos, or it's even Zadon Malachos, which is maybe the most intriguing sheet of all. And of course, that really has a lot to do with our Hakdama discussions about one Shem Yisr, many Shemos Yisr, etc. And again, there are difficulties in formulating that final shita, but clearly we know what direction it's taking. As for the other shitas, again, they fit in nicely with other things that we've seen. Okay, so now we want to move on. Just the last topic of this group is the issue of Shav Midiyasa. So we have the Gemara. Daniel, you want to read it for us? Just very quickly. Just a few lines on top of Tessam and Aleph.
From some
people, but not everybody. There's another possibility that it's, it's based on a different limud, but again, there's some selectivity when it comes to bringing karbanos, and that selectivity excludes mumar. Okay. Or Rav Shimon Elazar Omer.
Rav Shimon Elazar Omer. social media, so can't really comment on that.
Okay. So this is the halakha that we want to examine for a few, you know, for a few minutes. This halakha of shav or shave midiyah, so the different girsos in the Rishonim, what exactly it should be. It doesn't really matter for our purposes at the moment. Except, you know, maybe conceptually it makes a difference, and we'll get to that in just a minute. What kind of halakha is that? When, under what conditions does it apply? And what is the nature of that halakha? So let's just begin by analyzing it. If you had to, Daniel, if you had to, if you didn't know this halacha, so again, you would be comfortable with it or not? Somebody said to you, shogeg is chayv a karban, but a shav midiyasa or a shave midiyasa, either way, doesn't bring a karban. Is that mechudash or obvious?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it was the only determining factor.
Okay. Do you want to clarify that a little more?
Because it could include just like, let's say, a small component. Like, to some opinions, it could just be, let's say, if you knew carbon, then you would have been so even if you had known kares, or let's say a lot, then you...
Okay, now you're getting back to what we discussed a little bit with, and that is whether, let's say, munbaz, and what is the relationship between shav midiyoso and halachos of munbaz and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and so on. But let's leave that aside even for the moment, even though maybe we'll get back to it. But the thing is, a person, what happened here? He did the action b'shkaga or not?
Yeah.
He was chote b'shkaga, in the sense that he didn't know that the action that he was doing was awesome. So we could say that he was chote in a state of shkaga, or in conditions of shkaga. That would be an accurate statement. So on the surface, one would think, if he was chote b'shkaga, and the chote b'shkaga brings a karban, so there's absolutely no reason why this individual should not bring a karban. And the Gemara is enlightening us that this is not so. Had circumstances been different, you know, he would not have been shav midiyaso, and therefore he doesn't bring a karban al shingasa. Okay, so now the question is how to evaluate that. So... go ahead. I mean,
like
we wouldn't have necessarily known it, in other words, but now it's being taught to us. So now we have to look at it and see, you know, what, try to derive any implications from it. Well, what are we looking for?
I'm saying if he had known about it, what would he have done? So would it just a, is it just a fluke that it was a Chicago, or is it that it's like a real Chicago, and that if he...
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that even though we might not have predicted this, now that we're confronted with it, one way to look at it, excuse me, is in terms of the shkaga, the quality of the shkaga itself, right? In other words, so you just said, is it a fluke that it was a shogeg? And if the shogeg part was just a coincidence, you know, is that enough to be mechayev him a korban? That's another way of challenging whether the conditions of shkaga that generate a karban really exist in this case or not. Okay. Now that too I think could be said maybe in more than one way, but already you're taking a certain stand. You're taking a stand in which you're basically challenging the mechayiv of karban based on the quality of this shkaga. I think, as I said, you could say it in more than one way. One is, well, go ahead. One is to talk about the state of the shkaga. Right. In other words, is this Al-Pidin defined as Ose Maisa B'Shkaga? In other words, is the state of Shkaga Mitzuraf to this Maisa Avera really or not? He did it, and he happened to be a shogeg. The question is, if we see that as you called it as a fluke or a coincidence, so does the state of Shkaga, which admittedly existed, no one can deny that, but does it attach itself Al-Pidin? Al-Pidin, does it register in this Maisa Avera? Because the same thing could have been done theoretically, you know, even had he not been a shogeg. So something that is coincidental doesn't necessarily leave its mark, doesn't necessarily integrate into this definition. Okay, so one possibility is that you need to do, in order to be chayav a karban, it has to be a maisa b'shkaga. And maisa b'shkaga means that the shkaga is more than a coincidence, that the shkaga in some meaningful way gets connected to the maisa. And it's that siruf between the state of shkaga and maisa b'shkaga, or maisa shkaga, let's say, is what's lacking here. That could be a chiddush, but that is a reasonable chiddush. That's one possibility. Or, but one could take it a step further, based on things that we've said many times.
So maybe that the state of the, if I could take it with respect to the comments of Kapara, or something like that, the mistake in the situation, the bit of onus involved is what makes you
here. If you're doing something which you would have done anyway. I wouldn't say onus.
Don't say onus,
because onus might be a reason to make it pot. I understand what you mean, but right. Don't say onus because it's a loaded term. Right. So what say, just say it a little better.
That if a karma is a kapara, it's because of the fact that you were taking it, that you had something.
Forget even the kapara part for a moment. Right. You might be right, but why burden ourselves with that aspect of it?
If it comes from the strong aspect of it, I was perfectly willing to be
nesed for it,
so I don't have a shkaga. Just that there wasn't
a mistake. Now, if the mechayev of the karban isn't even maisa shkaga, let's say, but the shkaga hamiviyaso leavera, if shkaga's role in karbanos is a causal one, not just a descriptive one, and you actually bring the karban for the shkaga that you had. And this, of course, is the huge issue that we've been discussing in terms of chiluk katos, right? Which comes from that, most dramatically from that line on Ayin Amud Aleph, right? The last line, of our next Gemara. Korban dechi of Rachman Amaya Shkaga, Hasum Chadash Shkaga, Hachet Tuv Shkagas Havyon, which the father of the Amnezer didn't like so much in general, but even he admitted that it seems to be a factor in Shabbos. Perhaps one can play down in Shabbos, and perhaps it's a factor in all karbanos. I think there could be three positions. Okay. But either way, this perspective that the shkaga hamiviyaso, shkaga isn't just a state of the maisa, and one which excludes, let's say, mezid, or which simply defines or describes or integrates into the maisa, but that on the contrary, the mistake, the toes, is the mechayiv. So if you say that, then shav midiyaso turns out to be not only a reasonable kiddush, in the sense that, it could go either way and it's understandable. We might not have known it, but in reconstructing it, we can understand it and so on and apply it. But it's more than that. It turns out that Shav Midiyaso is, is almost compelling. It is compelling. It's almost mukhrak, I would say, in the sense that, you have this fellow, he would do it b'mezid or b'shogeg anyway. He happens to be in the state of shogeg, so what are you going to say? His mistake is responsible for this aveira, and therefore he brings a karban for the mistake that he made. The mistake that he made is absolutely beside the point. It's not only coincidental, but it's also, in a sense, gratuitous. Because either way, he would have done this aveira. So you can't link the action causally to the state of shkaga. That's what you want to say.
Right.
Correct. So if you say that's the most obvious and most direct explanation of Shav Midiyaso. So then Shav Midiyaso emerges as just a natural, I'd say almost, definitely compelling and maybe even forced upon us. On the other hand, if we say the other formulation, it makes sense. Namely, the question is, Maisa Veira's Shel Shkaga. The question is, when do you get to affix the Shel Shkaga to the Maisa Veira? What happens if indeed there's more than one factor, and possibly it's coincidental? Is it Mitzarif or not? That's, I think, more of an open question. Okay. So basically, let's say what we've said so far. On the one hand, he does this action in a state of Shkaga. There's no question about that. If the state or conditions of shkaga alone were responsible for karban, then shav midiyaso would be problematic, unless we gave some other explanation, which we'll get to in a minute. It's certainly not a maisa b'mezid, right? Because if anything other than a maisa b'mezid is mechayev a karban, which, for example, according to Munbaz may be true, right, then one would think that Shav Midiyaso shouldn't be much of a factor. Because even if, had he known he would have done it B'nezid, right, certainly he wouldn't say that therefore his act is an act of Mezid. Right, because he doesn't know the merit of Mezid, mainly, you know, Mezid also has a certain meaning and connotation. Right? He would have done it had it been B'nezid, but he didn't do it in a state of Mezid and merit. Right, you can only, you know, do something to Mezid of a merit when there's an awareness that something is awesome. So there's possibly conditions of Shkaga. There's definitely no conditions of Mezid Umered. And it's question whether or not there is an integrated Shkaga to define this Maisa. That, I think, is an open question. Could go either way. On the other hand, we're certainly lacking the causal factor of Shkaga. So that's what we have. Another way to put that might be to say that... So that's what we have on the surface. Now, this kind of a question exists in other contexts too. Anybody know any? Or at least one could raise this question in other contexts. It does exist in other places too. Any of the Ksuvus people? Simcha? Where else do we have this kind of motion? Yeah. Well, let's say you did a tznai b'onus, but you would have done it baratzon as well. But in general, the principle of onus, we say onus rachmana patra, right? So what happens if you're forced into a situation? There's a situation of onus, and as a result, you do something. It could be tznai, it could be an aveira too. Right? There is an onus, but had there not been an onus, you would have done a baratzon. So there the question is not in terms of karbonos, the question is in terms of whatever, kiyum atanai, maisa averos, onshim, or for that matter, pikuach nefesh. Right? Let's say there's a state of pikuach nefesh, but you would do something even if it wasn't a state of pikuach nefesh. In terms of the relationship between onus and pikuach nefesh, it seems like onus, this is a more significant question than it is in pikuach nefesh. In pikuach nefesh, it's more likely that if you're not motivated by the pikuach nefesh factor, that you're less likely to be able to exploit it. Onus, because the alternative doesn't really exist for you. You might say that you only punish someone when he has an option. Even if you would do it otherwise, but he has to have the option. Right. It depends on many things. Essentially, it'll depend on the relationship between pikuach nefesh and ones and shkaga, what kind of halachos they are. Maybe how hutra or how hukuya, whether they relate to onshim or whether they relate to maisim. It'll also depend on the applications. Just like we said a moment ago. And when it comes to karbanos, so a good part of the question is whether or not it's shgaga hamiviyaso lidei aveira, right? Or it's maisa b'shgaga, or it's any maisa she'eno b'nezid, right? So too, we might ask similar questions about onshim, and about isurim, and about tanoim. So we don't have to have the same conclusion. Let's take these three, pikuach nefesh, ones, shkaga, or we don't have to come to the same conclusion in all three places for various reasons, because the categories are different and because the applications of the categories are different. But at least we understand that the issues are parallel. It's an interesting question. When you don't have alternatives, or when the alternative is not going to be any different, how significant is the factor is a factor that applies to the circumstance that took place. Okay. With regard to onus rachmana patre, as we found to be definitely an issue. It's hinted at in the Rishonim, but not so much. But certainly in the Achronim, the Pnei Yeshua, Reb Chaim speaks about it, and the Birchas Shmuel in Ksuvah has several lengthy pieces about it. Otis Rachmana Patre, what he would have done it anyway. But I said the parallels are clear. In a similar vein, we already noted that there's a debate among the Achronim whether or not the category of Shavni D'Yaso applies to Galus or not. Right? That's closer to home in terms of the relationship between Karban and Shkaga. What about Galus and Rotzeach B'Shkaga? And of course, what we did at the time is put it in the context of other issues, the status of Omer Mutter, the status of Tchilasa V'Sofo B'Shkaga, Karv L'Mezid, Karv L'Ones. Again, if we decide that when it comes to Rotzeach B'Shkaga, that's all about a Maisa Veira B'Shoge. That Karbanos is about Shkaga Shem V'Yasa L'Dei Achet. Or even if you just wanted to make the distinction of the Ramban in Makos, as we discussed, between Shigas Maisa and Shigas Achet. So then the possibility that that would affect something like Shav Midiyaso is very very reasonable. Again, the more the role of Gram Shkaga, the more Shav Midiyaso is reasonable. The more it's a kind of, Shkaga is a kind of a Ptur. But basically, you should be chayiv. The only reason that you're potter is because it was b'shogeg. Then the more you would think that that shav b'diaso is not going to be shav b'diaso is going to be a factor. So the issue of galus again is going to highlight the nature of shav b'diaso as well as the relationship between galus and karva. In similar vein, that was our discussion of Munbaz. Right. We raised the question whether Tosis's assumption that Munbaz accepts Shav Midiyaso is Mukrach or not. Tosis assumes it. Tosis assumes on a practical level that that would be enough for a person to be Poresh. In other words, if he knew something was Aser B'Lav or B'Kares, and he's still willing to do it b'mezid, but he would find out that had he done it b'shogeg, he would have been chayv karba, and that somehow, that missing piece of information, that's the one that's going to cause him to be poresh. That's how Tos understands the munvas, which is why Tos distinguishes between yedias skila and yedias kares, in order to fit it into that. But what we suggested was that one could challenge whether munvas even believes in shav midiyasa. Because if you take a certain perspective on Zadon and Shkaga, then it's quite possible that that will affect Shav Midiyaso as well. So in light of what we're saying now, which is that Shav Midiyaso weighs either the quality of the Shkaga, which is what Daniel said, or the extent to which the Shkaga is Goreim Eswaveira, if that indeed is the Mechaim, which is what Dovi was suggesting. So if you take either of those perspectives, and now you look back at Munbaz, and if indeed we take the position for Rabbeinu Hanano, or even for some of the other Rishonim, we don't go as far as Rabbeinu Hanano, that Munbaz's view is that Shogeg is awfully close to Nezid. Okay, awfully close to Nezid might dictate that we don't care about Shav Midiyasa, because a Shogeg that is Karav L'Mezid is still Mechayev Karban, then what that might mean is that anything less than Mezid is Mechayev, you a Karban. And if that's true, then Shav Midiyaso is not going to be a factor, because he's not a Mezid. It's just the quality of his Shkaga or the impact of his Shkaga that is being weighed by Shav Midiyaso. And since that's true, somebody who believes that anything less than Mezid, or almost any kind of Shkaga at all, any kind of link to Shkaga is enough to justify a Karban, is at least open to the possibility of not believing in Shem Midiyasa. Okay. So the very same reason why you might not say it in Galus, you might not say it for Munvaz, essentially in Korban either. Okay. Now this idea that the Shem Midiyasa affects the quality of the Shkaga is stated explicitly, at least by one of the Rishonim. Yechiel? Shem Midiyasa
affects the quality of the Shkaga. Can't think of it.
Eliezer?
Any sources?
I don't think so. I don't think it's explicit in sources. Eliezer?
Donnie?
The Rambam, I think, is unclear. We'll get to the Rambam. The Rambam is very problematic. It's hard to pin down the Rambam. But I think one Rishonim is very, very explicit about it. Yana? Unambiguously says it. Yoni? What? Is it so explicit in Rashi? It sounds that way in Rashi a little bit. I don't think you can pin it down perfectly. The Rishon I think is most explicit is... Maybe. No, it doesn't include, I definitely don't think so. Ellie? No, definitely not. We'll get to that, but I don't... for sure not. I think maybe the opposite. The Chiddush Aran. Right? The Chiddush Aran and the Sviv, didn't I give you the Chiddush Aran to look at?
No.
I definitely said the Chiddush Aran. I didn't give you the Chiddush Aran on the list of Marv Aran? Yaakov? No? I think it was the first thing I gave. It's on my list that I read it around. The first thing. I thought I said Shabbos Amat Tesam and Aleph Rashi tells us on the Chiddush Aran. No? Okay. It's on my list anyway. Does anybody have any Kiddusha Ran here? The printed Kiddusha Ran. Anybody have it? Who has it? Michael?
The Don
Ran,
right?
What?
Oh, no,
the Talmud Aron.
Ah.
Yeah. But the printed Kiddusha Ran. Okay, maybe I swallowed my words, but I even recall my hearing myself. I hear myself saying, "Can you share?" Go ahead. You have it? Yeah, I think so. Towards the end of the piece, I forgot. I didn't write the Dibur Masva down. But.
My Shavidia So is only one paragraph.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Here.
Maybe it's not in that piece. Maybe it's in a previous piece. Okay, go ahead.
Here. Achar she'asa ha'aveira v'yadash hayakaris b'davar v'amar. So basically.
Zen Mazid below Shogeg is a very important line. Right? That's the Ran saying this is not Shogeg. It doesn't mean that it's Mazid. No, the Maisa wasn't done in a state of Mazid and Merit, but what he means is in Shogeg it's Mazid. Mm-hmm. This is not Shogeg. Shogeg means where the Shkaga is responsible for your Aveira, and that's not true here. He would have done it anyway. Okay. The Rambam, I say, is very problematic, because on the one hand, the Rambam quotes this halacha in Hilchos Shkagos, Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin and Ches, and one would have thought that being quoted in Hilchos Shkagos, that maybe it's a din in Shkago. And maybe it is. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos also has a very interesting line. Yosef, if you saw it? Go ahead. By Mitzdar. Mm-hmm. get back to it in a couple of minutes, but all the Rambams are really problematic. What is it? Where is it? Paragimel? Halacha Yud Aleph? What is it? Yud Aleph. What? Just very quickly. Again, Sharei, the last line. And right, so that case is a case of, according to the Ram, what's the case?
He thinks
that mitzvah is mutter to break a shvua. The question is, why is that a problem of lo shav midiyasa? Yeah, says. Since the atzmo shalisa, he knows everything about it, he just makes a mistake about some, I guess, more meta halachic question. So that means that it's not a proper, it's not a shkoga b'atzmo shel iser. That's the language I think of the halakha mishnah. So if that's really what Ram has in mind, so again, it sounds like we'll have to analyze it more fully, but it sounds like the quality of the shkoga is the problem of shavid yasa. And the fact that he quotes another shkoga is really important in that direction as well. The problem is that the Rambam also quotes this halakha yosef where else? Not only in shkogos and in shavuos, but where else is it quoted? In Maisa Karbanos. And in Maisa Karbanos, it sounds a little different. We'll get to that in just a minute. So what is the second possibility? So again, so far what we've said is Shav Midiyaso is a problem in the quality of the Shkaga. Either if you require Shkaga Hagoremes Hesaveira, that certainly is lacking. In that sense, it's almost like Mazin. I think that's what the Kedusha Ran has in mind. Or if it's a question of being mitzarev, the state of shkaga to the maisa, to be called the maisa shkaga, so there I think it's more of an open question, but certainly one can argue that the lo shma shkaga kahayda. Okay. Let's say you think that shkaga is defined simply by virtue of the fact that you did a maisa in the state of shkaga. Period. Nothing more, nothing less. So then, again, you don't require that the shkaga is goremes. And let's say you were going to argue that the other side of the coin, that if you did it in a state of shkaga, then it's a maisa shogeg. You know, what you would have done alternatively is irrelevant. You know, when you do something mazid, it's a maisa mazid, and when you do something the shogeg, it's a maisa shkaga. So then, what reason, then the whole issue of shavid yasa becomes much more problematic. Meaning, so what's the problem? There is a shkaga. Shkaga is mechayev a karban. So what's the problem? So what else could the problem be, Aryeh? What else could the problem be in Shav Midiyasa? I'm saying, if you say that the first approach we've taken with two formulations, you know, one more, I guess, moderate and the other more obvious, is that the problem is in the quality of the shkaga. What he would have done had he known, B'mezid ends up dictating how much of a role, or how mitzuraf, or how coincidental is the shkaga to the aveir. So the problem here is about whether or not the maisa shkaga, is there enough shkaga to be mechayev a karva? Okay. But let's say you don't take that approach. Let's say you say, if you do something in a state of helem, ignorance, that's a shkaga. Well, you can say it that way. You do something the matzav shel shkaga, so basically you're doing it, are you doing it the helem? You don't know the fact that this is asur? The answer is yes. So if helem is mechayev a karban, so the fact that the helem doesn't gorein the aveira, or it's a coincidence, is a separate matter. But the fact is that you did this b'matzav shel iyadia, right? So you're chayev a karban. So what if that's true? What's the problem of shav midiyasa? What's the alternative? If it's not a problem in the shkaga, what problem is it? Simcha?
The guy himself isn't shav.
Exactly. The problem is that it's not a problem in the Maisa Aveira, the Shkaga, or the Shkaga Shal Aveira. The problem is in the Gavra. The problem is that this is a person who's not a Bar Kapara or a Bar Havas Karbanas. That's the problem. If he is the kind of person who would have done this action, B'nezid, so he's not Roy L'Havas Karbanos. He's Mufka for the Parsha of Havas Karbanos. And if that's true, so then basically what kind of halacha is it, would you say? Simcha, just take a step further to the context. It's a din habas, a korban, gabra maybe it's a korban, what kind of halacha is it? Okay, but in terms of existing halachos or shitas, exactly. I mean, it's an extension of the halacha of mumar, which basically means that when you look at the debate in the Gemara, right, which appears in several places, me'am aretz prat l'mumar, tanakama, or Rav Shimon Lazar, Mishum Rav Shimon, asher lo yaseh asena v'shkagavi ashen, hashem midyasa, maybe karban al shigase lo shem midyasa, ena maybe karban al shigigaso. So the question is, are these two shitos mutually exclusive? They are different, and the Gemara in Chulin, which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes, on the Hamad base asks, what's the nafkamina between them? But aside from the nafkamina issue for a moment, just conceptually, what is the relationship between them? So if we say that shamidiyaso is about the quality of the shkaga, or the extent to which the shkaga is Mibiyaso Liday Aveira. So then we're dealing with two completely different issues. One is very specific to Shkagos and Karbanos, might be limited to Katos, and again, it has to do with the conditions of the Aveira. And the other has to do with broader issues of the Gabra, Mumar. As you say, it could be a din in the Mikdash, it could be a din in the Karbanos, whatever the nature of the Psul, Mumar, Lahavi, Karbanos is, but they have nothing to do with each other. So it's a quite mutually exclusive debate. Or no, Shav Midyaso turns out not to impact or impinge upon the quality of the Shkaga, but turns out to be a din of the Gavra, namely a Gavra who would do this, even had he known about it, is not a Gavra from whom we will accept Karbanos. Then, if that's the case, then it turns out that the debate is about the scope of the halach of mumar. To be sure, there are differences. Mumar is a certain formal legal status, and he has to earn that status, okay? Negatively earn that status. Right? So you have to be a mumar l'chol haTorah kula. Again, Tosis already in Chulin points out that, the Gemara says there in Chulin that, the Gemara says in Chulin that what's the nafkamina between these two deos? He's a mumar lechol chelev, but not lechol dam. So how does that work? If it's shav midiyaso,
so if it's shav midiyaso, so he's a shav midiyaso, he's
never bring the carbon.
But if it's a mumar, so then he is a mumar lechol chelev, so therefore. I mean, Tosis has an issue.
So then Tosis points out, right, if he's a mumar, he's possible, even though he's not a mumar, the davar is there. That's the Gemara is enough. We'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. So Tosis asks the question, well, why should a mumar l'chelev, even from the perspective of the Tanakhama, why should he be mufka from a karban of dam? After all, a mumar l'davar echad is not mumar l'chol echad. So what is Tosis' answer?
He has two answers. The first answer is that indeed in Mumar Lechol Chelev is a Mumar Lechol Torah Kula.
Why?
Because.
Well, the first answer is really that he isn't really. What we mean is that he's a Mumar in everything but Dam. We're just calling him a Mumar Lechelev because, Chelev has a certain product connotation of Halacha. But Lemaisa, we're talking about a person who's a Mumar Lechol Torah Kula. There's one thing he doesn't do, and that's Dam.
Right.
Maybe he's a katsa and he doesn't like dam.
Well, that's the secondary source, right? That
that you really remember the same pasuk.
Right? Or, so, right, it could be that really you don't need, so according to the first view, it could be that you need a mumar to call it Tzadik Kula, literally, in order to apply the din of mumar Psul Gavra.
Yeah.
And according to the second day,
so then since they're the same pasuk, so, and
yeah, this is what we've alluded to.
He doesn't care about either one of them, and the only reason it doesn't get down generally is because he's disgusted by it.
Yeah. So this is what we've alluded to several times. Other people say this as well, and that's that special relationship between Chelev and Dam, which is why maybe there was a Hava Mina, then different formulations in the Rishonim and in some of the Mepharshim about, Tinek Shenishba. What was the Hava Mina that Chelev, why did he need to tell us that Chelev separate, Dam separate, and so on? Either because all Torah call it Torah Kula, or all Macholos Asuros, or specifically Chelev and Dam because one Pasuk, and so on. And here you really see that. From a mumar point of view, it could really be true. You're a mumar on this pasuk. If you're a mumar on Caleb, you're a mumar on Dan. Okay, so that's very, very important. But the point is that mumar, the Tanakhama's view, is a very formal status. And that's what Tosfos is struggling with. You have to define that status. What makes him a mumar that is mufka from Kabbalahs when it comes to other Isurim? Yes, he has a shame rasha, a shame mumar. So either it has to be Shem Mumar L'Chol HaTavar Kula, or it has to be a Shem Mumar L'Davar Zeh, but it has to be established in a clear way. And how does that establish? So that's, again, discussion in the various Makaros. How much of a pattern has to exist for him to be a Mumar? Not one violation, right? The repeated violations, how many? Is it a Chazaka? What exactly is it based on? And that's the concept of Mumar. But when it comes to Shav Midiaso, right, you see already, right, Lekula and Lechomra, probably. Right, on the one hand, he can be a Mumar, and in theory, that has nothing to do with Shav Midiaso. Right, even if he has a larger status of Mumar. On the other hand, it also works in the other direction, right? Let's say he's a... let's say he's a mumar l'davar zeh, and he's not a mumar l'chol HaTavar Kula. I might have posed this discussion. Let's say he isn't chelef and dam in one pasuk, or you don't care that it's one pasuk, and he isn't in fact a mumar l'chol HaTavar. But we happen to know that in this particular action, he's not shav midiyasa. Right? That's if he would do it, bein b'shogeg, bein b'nezeh. Even though he's not a gavr mumar. So presumably, according to Tanakama, in such a case, he would bring a karma. And according to Rav Shimon, he would not bring a karma. It goes in both directions. So the question is, so if it's all about, again, the there are two different dinim. One is about the status of the gavra. The other is about the status of the shkagar, the role that it plays. So in the fact that there would be chilukim in either direction is reasonable. If, on the other hand, what we're saying now is that Shav Midiaso is about the Gavra as well, then there's a continuum between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon. They both hold that this is a din and a kind of mumar. So then what we have to explain is, yes, but they have different perspectives. One is a formal Shem Mumar, again, Lekula or Lechumra. And the other is about a mumar specifically regarding this halacha. Okay. And that could be, again, Lekula and Lechol. He's not a mumar l'chol HaTavar Kula, but he is a mumar l'davar zeh. Or he is a mumar l'chol HaTavar Kula, but he's not a mumar l'davar zeh. That's going to be the nafkina. But it really is a din in Shav Midiaso. According to that, it's quite possible, again, the Shav Midiaso, may come into play. Because if we're interested just in the extent to which the Shkaga is mitzarev, or even more so, the Shkaga is responsible causes and for the mechayev for the karban, So if I could say, either way, maybe shav is just as good, but or shev rather is as good. But if the point is that this person in davar zeh is a kind of a mumar, namely it's a psul gavra, so maybe the emphasis is on tshuva, right?
Can we make a assumption? I think you're so whether it's Hashiv or Hashav.
Maybe.
Forget it. So that's definitely on the Gavra Ha.
Could be. I mean, it doesn't have. I mean, again, remember that, in 99% of the cases, they overlap. So, say, a person who does We could be talking about a person who does not refrain, even when he knows, is a person who is not doing, is not rather nichshal because of his shkava, and therefore there's no shkava. It doesn't have to relate to the goddess.
It's as much as shav or shev.
Maybe. I'm just saying that shav or shev is more about, you know, whether this has to do with tshuva, and is a problem of the being a bar korban or a bar kapara, perhaps, more than ha, I think. But maybe. Okay. This idea, so then we would have to, you know, raise several things. Number one, do you need a pattern? Don't you need a pattern? Even within this own person's behavior. Let's say we happen to know that he, you know, can read his mind, or he knows whether he's a shav midiyasa or not, or they have to be established in any way, even if the way it's established is less than mumar l'davar echad, then that's one issue. Another issue which we're going to look out for and get to in just a couple of minutes is the question of possibly distinguishing between karbanos and tithes. Karbanos meaning, is there a distinction to be made between chatas, for example, and ola? Let's say even more than asham and ola and chatas, which asham again is in between, as it usually is. But, okay, the Gemara in Chulin, right, you know, whether it's miktas or ne'amaret, so the Gemara says you need both psukim, you know, one for chatas, one for ola. The Gemara has partially that discussion. The Rambam seems to apply bein lechatas, bein leola in maisa kavanos. We'll get to the Rambam in just a couple of minutes. As we noted, the Rambam quotes a halacha in maisa kavanos. Maisa kavanos, the emphasis is also on the, who has the maisa kavanos in Chicago? So, open, anybody? Find it. Where is it? Gimel Dalet, right? Yisrael shehu mishumed l'avod zara, o mechal shabbos b'farhesia, ein mekabel mimenu karban klal. So clearly the beginning of the halacha is the halacha of mumar and mishumed. And so then habas, karbanos and kapara. Afilo ha'ola shehu mekabelos amin agai, ein mekabelos amin ha'mishumed azeh. So not just a din of katas, it's a din in ola as well. Shenemar adam ki akriv mikem. Yipi ha'shumu landu mikem v'lo kochem, lehotzis ha'mishumed. Aval, in high mishumet l'shara averos, mekablin menu kol ha-karbanos kadei sheyachsor b'tshuva. Okay. What does kadei sheyachsor b'tshuva mean? That's not clear. We'll get back to that. The middle of the Shemelech has 2 days. High mishumet l'avera, v'hu mepursam v'yadua l'asosa v'hur galba, even if he's not a mumer l'chol ha-tarakula, bein l'haches bein l'tayavon, ein mekabel mimenu karban l'osa averos. Kesad, kagon sheyirag ilachol chelav vein lachas vein tayava v'shogag biyachol chelav vehevi chatos ein mekabel nosam mimenu. So the Rambam sticks in the halacha of lo shav midiyaso almost again without any fanfare, almost seamlessly in the halacha that clearly is focused on mishumad and ein mekabel min a mishumad having to do with Kabbalas Karbanos L'tshuva. Aval Mahay Mishumah D'Shar Averus Mekabel Menu Kol Karbanos K'Neshiyasa B'tshuva, unless he's Mishfursam V'yadua L'asos of Ahurgoba of this particular Averus. So from this Rambam alone, again, the beginning of the Rambam makes it perfectly clear that this is not limited to Chatos. The end of the Rambam happens to be a case of Chatos. The effect of the whole Harambam seems to be that this is one halacha din of the gav. On the other hand, as we said, the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos doesn't sound that way, and the Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, where is it in Shkagos? Gimel Zayin Hemches. The more the fact that the Rambam has it again in Shkagos is interesting. He starts off by quoting Maisa Karbanos. Kvar biyarnu b'hilchus Maisa Karbanos shal mishumad la'avazaro l'chal l'shal s'perhesu ein mekabel minu korban klal va mishumad la'avero b'shar averos ein mekabel minenu chatas al oso achet. So here, it sounds a little bit in the Rambam as if he is accenting the difference. Again, it's hard to know whether or not the difference is technical. There's a difference between a gavra mishuma generally and a person who is just rogil or mefursam but also akat. So technically, it expresses itself in different ways. Or these aren't maybe two different dina, notwithstanding the inclusion of this in Hilchos Ma'aser Korbanos, the Rambam is perhaps compensating. In Ma'aser Korbanos, with the heavy emphasis on mumar, he also wants you to know that even if you're not a mumar, there are circumstances in which you'll be no Kabbalah's Korban, although maybe it's based on a different principle and only applies to Chatas, namely the principle of Shavu D'Yaso. And in Hilchos Shgagos, when he's about to tell you the real halacha of the real focus, which is the quality of Shkaga and the din of Shav Midiyaso, so he also wants you to know that, you know, if you're Mumar, the Kal Tara Kula, even if it's not an issue of Shav Midiyaso, we won't accept the Karban. So the Rambam quotes both in both places, because if you only quoted one, you might be left with misconception that the other is not Mufka Mikarban, but really they're two different halachos. Maybe. It's hard to know. Again, here it's certainly the emphasis on Mishumad Laver Visharay Sumakam and Uchata Solosokhet. Keitza, Mishumad Lecha Chela Shacha Chela, Vishkaga. The Hevi Chataso. Here it doesn't say Ruggle and Mufursam, it just says Mishumad Lecha. Might be the same thing. Ein Makabal Menuad Shiyachso Bechuba. Now, it doesn't say when. In Maisa Karbanos, he says the purpose of the Karban is Kadesh Shiyachso Bechuba. Here he says, Ad Shiyasa B'tshuva. Apilo hayi b'shumad lechal nevela l'tayama v'nischalep lochem v'shuman v'achlo lehevi karben ein makabli menu. Shem yish'achal b'zadon v'ein lehachas v'ein l'tarabin harayu b'shumad. Hayi b'shumad lechal chelo v'shagag v'achal dam makabli menu k'mo shebi'arnu. So it's hard to know what the relationship is, yeah. It could be. That's kind of what I was suggesting by... The Rambam quotes both halachas in both places. What I was suggesting a couple minutes ago was maybe in Ma'aser Korbanos, I think there are two possibilities. One is that there are really two different dinim in both places, but it just wants you not to be confused and to know that in both cases there's no Kabbalah's Korban. You shouldn't read Shkagos and come away with a halachic misconception. You shouldn't read Ma'aser Korbanos and come away with a factual... halachic misconception. But really, there are two different dinim. One is about chato specifically, and it's a din in shkaga, and the other is a din in all karbanos, but it requires a real formal status of the shumad, and it's a din in kapara and so on. I think that's one possibility. The other possibility is exactly what you're suggesting, which is that what the Rambam's telling us is that these halachos overlap. They really belong in two different places because they really accomplish two different goals. It's a Ma'aser Korbanos halacha, namely a din in the Gavra. Namely, a Gavra who would do this b'mezid is not one for whom Kapara is possible. He's Mufka mikarbanos from Ma'aser Korbanos point of view. And in addition to that, when it comes to Chatas, you should know that such a Gavra, both the Mumar L'Kol Torah Kula and even Mumar L'Osa Davar, maybe even more so Mumar L'Osa Davar, are Mufka in Mishkaga, and then Hilchos Shavuos, he's just, you know, he's following through on the Shkaga side of it. Very possible. That's why he has it in both places. He has both in both places, because they're both true in both places, but the emphasis is different. I think that that's possible as well. So the Rambam is not clear. Where it's more explicit is in the Ravid. Right? The Ravid on the Sifra does what? Okay. Yeah, Shav Midiyaso is cited as proof that there's a requirement of vidui on the korban. This is the Achronim are familiar with this ravid. In particular, Yosef Engel has a very interesting piece on Shav Midiyaso where he discusses a lot of these issues in slightly different ways in some cases. I'll explain in a minute, but in his, not in Asudarai, the other one, Siyunim Malatora, I think it is, Sinim Tezbav. So he also quotes this Ravid. Inami Minhu Gufa, So for the Rebbe, this is connected with tshuva. It's not a din in what caused the aveira, or what state he was in when he did the aveira. It has to do with the zman havas a karban and the vidui that you say on the karban. According to the Ravid, it would appear that there's a connection to the Mumar issue. Okay. So basically, the relationship between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon is very much going to depend on these perspectives, and whether we extend to Olos, again, Asham, is in between, might not be as strong a proof, but certainly whether it's the contrast between Chatas and Olam would be important, and that's part of the discussion in the Gemara. Critical moment is particularly significant as well. When we speak about Shav Midiyaso or Shev Midiyaso, are we referring to the moment of the Ma'is Aveira, or the moment before the Ma'is Aveira, or are we referring to the moment of Havas Karbonoso? Again, according to the Ravid, it appears that what's important is that he be contrite at the time of the bringing of the Karbon. Right, that's the whole point of the Rav, is you have to do vidui on the karban. On the other hand, if we take the view of the Chiddush Aran, certainly, that this is about shogeg being goren esachet, or even if we take the more moderate formulation, that is, whether or not we could say it's a maisa shkaga, or the shkaga part is just a coincidence, since it could just as easily have been a maisa zadon, so it isn't, but it's not a maisa shkaga either. If we take that perspective, then his state at the moment of the bringing of the karban is totally irrelevant. What's important is his attitude at the time of the chet. So the fact that the Ravid thinks that, that this is what it is, of course, that's part of the Ravid shita. So then it'd be doing tshuva. On the other hand, let me just say, I think this is a raya in one direction only. In other words, if we were to conclude that shav midiyaso depends on the moment of the chet, that doesn't preclude the possibility that we're talking about a psul gavra. Right? Just that it doesn't necessarily depend on his relationship to tshuva at the time of the bringing of the karban, but whether he's a bar kapara on this ma'is aveira based on his attitude to shas ma'is aveira, basically. Establishing him as being mufka mishogeg. I don't mean in terms of the mechayev of the karban, but in terms of the Gavra being Roy on the Kapara. So in a sense, this is the discussion of other Rishonim in Chulin. Right? Because the Gemara here in Chulin on the Hamad Beis, right, so the Gemara has Mai Benayu, Mumar Lecho Chela, the Hevi Karban al Adav. Okay. So, Bali Tosis asked the question, Akiva, in Chulin. Actually, before I even get there, I should mention the Rashi. Rashi says, Ashav b'diyaso, she'im ha yodea, shehu chelev, ha yoshev u'mevatel me'avei razu. The Istigaris, that's where he has the question, Shav Midiyaso or Shev Midiyaso, and so on. So according to Rashi, it's clear that Shav Midiyaso depends on the moment of the Aveira. On the other hand, for Tosis, Akiva?
I don't remember his exact question, but
this is close to the conclusion, but based on what's the question that he's trying to resolve? Ellie? Sorry? Yeah. The question is, why do you need, that tells us the question, right? Tema, matzarech, kra, lamait, la'inu shav midiyaso, v'omid risho, ha'v zevach ha'shoim, ta'eva, v'hecha tesa gadaita, l'omid the baby. So Ellie, what would you say about the question?
Yeah.
No, that, the Tosa's answer is the opposite, right? I'm saying from the question alone, how would Tosa's question, what about this, what, why do you need this halakha of Shevidiyasa, Zevach, Shoyim, Teiva? Exactly. I mean, the question assumes that what is Zevach, Shoyim, Teiva? It refers to whether or not a karban can be brought from a rasha. It doesn't refer to whether or not the conditions of Shkaga that generate the karban are there or not. Yeah.
How do you know that? Why can't Zevach?
Well, it's a possible Zevach Rishayim Kaleva.
If you did that there, to.
All right, but if it's a reference to the karban, the problem isn't Havas, a karban. It's not the Kaleva of the karban. The Zevach Rishayim cannot be brought because it's Kaleva. I mean, it's explicit in the Maskana of Tosis, but I mean, it's the connotation of the pasuk is clear also. Right? That's a din in Havas Karbanos. That's a din in Maisa Karbanos, essentially, and that's where it appears in Maisa Karbanos. What's the answer, Ellie? Let's say he did tshuva after the Maisa Avera, before the Havas Karban. That's Tosis' name. That's what you look at the Tosis. Ishlomar, the Itzrich. I mean, Shem Midiyasa Lehecha Dechazer B'Tshuva Acharkach U'B'Shasha Achal Lohaya Shem Midiyasa. Meaning, he was Lo Shem Midiyasa at the time of the Aveira, but he was Chazer B'Tshuva at the time of the Karban. So it sounds like Tosfos saying Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva is not a problem, but Shem Midiyasa is a problem. Those Tosfos ends up agreeing with Rashi that the critical moment is the moment of the Aveira, not the moment of Havas HaKarba. But one could say that Tosis's question, it's not that Tosis's question assumes that Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva depends on the moment of the Aveira. Tosis's question assumed that Shev Midiyaso is identical to Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva, or given Zevach Rishayim, another way to look at it, if you want to say it that way, given Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva, so why do you need a halacha like Shev Midiyaso? Isn't every Shev Midiyaso Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva? But basically, the assumption is that Shev Midiyaso is a continuation of the concept of Mumar. It's a variation, I should say, on the concept of Mumar. It's a din in the Gavra, it's a din in the Kabbalas, a Karban, and so on. It's Maisa Karbanas Halacha. The Kamash Malan is that this Halacha teaches you that the critical moment isn't Havas HaKarban, it is Maisa Veira. We still don't know in Tosis whether that's because the Mechayiv of Gram Shkaga or the Shame Maisa B'Shkaga certainly depends on that critical moment of the Aveira, or that this is a little different than, it is a variation still on Mumar and Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva, but it's a variation that relates to whether he's a Bar Kapara from the moment of the Maisa. It's not Zevach Rishayim Tva'eva, it's a different kind of Psul Gavra Karban. A Gavro does a Maisa. The Mazid can't bring a Karban on it. It's not subject to Kapar. That could still be true for Tosis. In other words, how much did Tosis retreat from the Havamina that this is a Maisa Karbanos Halacha? Only in terms of why we need a Limud and then it extends to a different time period? Or did he do a 180 degree and basically, you know, come on board with the Chiddush Aran that this is really about Shkaga? That's not clear. For the Rambam, it's also not clear. When the Rambam says Ad Shiyasa Tshuva in Hilchos Shkagos, right? Ein Mekam Nemsha Vishachal Bezodon Ben Achven Rarei Vishumad. Ein mekabel mevenu ad shiyachzer b'tshuva. So the Rambam mean ein mekabel mevenu ad shiyachzer b'tshuva at the time of the Kabbalah Sa'at Karban? Or did he mean at the time of, until this person, at the time of the next time he does this Aveira, is already a Baal Tshuva, we would accept this Karban? So that's a big discussion in the Mishul Melech. Mishul Melech has two dais about that question. Yeah.
Is it possible, since the Rambam mentioned Tshuva and the Kagong, right, for example, that maybe Tshuva is not really the focus here? The Rambam was suggesting maybe in Shkagos, Tshuva is not the focus, but it just brings it in just to not lose perspective.
It's Shuvah Kela. Kela comes in with something. I don't think it's so. Again, if you say Achiyaksa B'tshuva refers to this man of the Adera,
I'm surprised that the Rambam didn't mention it when he introduced this cloth. He just mentions tshuva and he gives an example.
Right, well, as soon as he brings in Shavli Diyasa, he mentions it. So maybe that's because in the Meshumad issue, it's clearly only been in Kabbalah Sakar. But again, I think there is. The deep I made before, Karban Gutz Maisa Kabashum Shumad Lavero Kali Shabbos Press and Makabla Divided Korban Klal. So, should you emphasize the Klal? It becomes a Korban Klal in all cases, because in Shumad Klal Tara, or is the proper thing to emphasize a Makablin Klal, meaning it's a problem in the Kabbalah. From the Shumad Lavero, 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 and it's an issue of. It's hard to say. Again, because the Rambam overlaps in both places and emphasize again the whole Ragul before some even on the second case, much more Maisa Kavanos than it is here. Here you have Achiyasa B'tshuva, there you had Kadesh Yatsar B'tshuva. I just don't know. The Solchu Mishumad, Imikal and Korban Klal, again, Afilo Ha'ola. I don't know what Mishum is the Kabbalah called Karbanos. That's Kadeshi. Yeah, it's a little bit actually. The point of Kadeshi Yasa Mishum is a different point. Hi, Mishum Laver Mufursum Biadur La Sosa Bahur Galba. Again, if you say Shavmi Diyasa is just about when the Shkaga was Garemes Eswavera, I don't think it's necessary that it be Yadur La Sosa Bahur Galba necessarily. It doesn't have to be. Again, the whole Maisa Karbanos definitely sounds like it's a din of Mumar, even the second part. Again, I still hold out the possibility that there are two dinim, like Kodani said, and that in Shkagos he's just explaining the overlap, but he wants you to know that from a Shkagos perspective there's an issue and a problem as well. In any case, the 2 days of the Mishnah Melach echo the Adhavamina and Maskan of Tosis, or the Rashi versus the Raivid, or everyone who to look at it, and then of course, Ola, Asham, Kathas, especially Ola, Kathas, and critical moment, these are going to be crucial issues in this question. In addition, the cases in Horios and in Yuma are going to be important as well. That's what the Rebbe's angle in that piece discusses these as well. The Sugya in Horios, we already discussed a little bit, right, Avi? Seem to be the master of that Sugya Horios. Initial Melach. Go ahead. Who's Nischalef Shuman Ukela? Yeah, so even had he known that what he was eating was Chalev, right, he would have thought that he was eating it the Hether anyway. And the question is that, are you chayiv for that or not? There are 2 days in the Gemara Horios, on Beis Amud Aleph, whether or not it's Nischalev, Shuman, Vechelev, and Horu Bezdin, Shechelev, Mutar, in such a case, is it chayiv a korban or not? Correct? Okay. So, again, the interesting thing about that case, Avi, as opposed to these cases, meaning, and therefore, what's lacking? What's lacking? You're correct. Just so it would be Shev Midiyasa, or would not be Shev Midiyasa? That would be Shev Midiyasa. On the other hand, even if he knew that it was Shum, that it was Chalev, and not Shum, he would still eat it. So what do you have and what don't, in terms of our analysis, what do you have, what don't you have? Let's say in terms of the broader two perspectives. We're saying now that Shebid Yaso could be due to the quality of the Shkaga, for the role that the Shkaga plays, or it could be that it's a halacha on the Gavra, and whether or not it's royal the Kabul Karbonosa. So let's say in this Horios case, what factor can you eliminate? Exactly. There's no Gavra Rasha issue, he's not a Mumbar here. You know, he's just a God-fearing Jew who believes in the system. It's not even like he's, you know, scapegoating the Zagadol. No, he, you know, he's just a passionate, you know, advocate of the Zagadol, which is a good thing to be. So, is he a Rasha in any way? Absolutely not. He's a paragon of halachic, you know, system, basically. Right? So, if Shabbat Yaso is about Vidui or Tshuva, Russia, Makabal Karbonosov. Would we not be Makabal Karbonosov in this case? That's absurd. Of course we'd be Makabal Karbonosov. On the other hand, if the question is he a victim of the Shkaga or not? Which Shkaga? The Shkaga that would be Mechayev Makarban. Namely, the Schalev, Shuman, Bechelev is normally Mechayev Yokarban. Is he a victim of that? Is that what caused him to eat this? No, he would have eaten it anyway. Because Bezna Gadol, of whom he is a great, passionate, ardent follower, as we just said, said that it's, you know, it's mutter. Right? So here you have a case where there is no mumar factor, no gavra factor, but there is, apparently, a gram, a lack of gram of Shkaga HaGoremes factor, yeah.
Even as a Gavra, if he would neglect to do Tshuva, though, then wouldn't he not be Yaso then?
Yeah, that just doesn't happen to be the case.
Right, no, but...
I mean, if you happen to also be a Rasha, but wouldn't listen to Bezna Gadol anyway, then you'd have a regular Shemid Yaso.
Rebbe's talking in terms of Havmina, that he's not a Shemid Yaso, how could you have that Havmina already?
The 2 days in the Gemara, in this exact case, in the Skalev Shuman, Vechela Vehoru Bezdin Shemutar,
but they're not arguing over if he's a Shemid Yaso, are they?
Possibly.
I thought they were just arguing over if he's a Tolibidas Bezdin.
Oh, so that question is, what does that mean, Tolibidas Bezdin? But you're right, so this, you have to say it in a different way, though. I mean, you're raising another, there may be another factor here. The truth is there may be two other factors here. All I'm saying is, from the perspective of, from the stark, two stark perspectives, two extremes, namely, is this about Gavra Russia? Gavra Russia is neutralized in this case. There's no Russia here.
So could we say that the sign of Gavra is that it just needs to be a guy who has to be Tshuva?
I'm not sure why you want to say it that way. You're emphasizing in the Gemara a line about whether he's Tolo B'das Bezdin. So why not say that? Why not say it this way? From a Helam Davar Shal Tzibor point of view, let me say it this way. On the extremes of Mumar and Gavra, this does not seem to be a Lo Shav Mi D'Yaso case. From the perspective of is he a victim of a mistake, which is Mechayev Karban, a Shgaga Mevi'asa L'Nei Karban? The answer is no. Okay. But I think there are still two other factors that are more ambiguous. One is the fact that you just mentioned, but unless you'll tell me if this is what you mean, but the Gemara says maybe that's not considered Tola B'Bezdin. Meaning, as a ptur, or to be included in the chiyuv parl and davar shel tzibor, so you have to be tola bebezdin. So in a sense, you can turn this, that the middle factors are ironically are subtle, because they're two sides of the same coin in a way. Namely, there's another reason to say that he is chayiv b'karban here. He's chayiv b'karban because the reason that he'd be potter min hakarban is because he's tola b'das bezdin. But he's not really tola b'das bezdin. To be tola b'das bezdin means that the only reason that you're eating this is because of bezdin. He doesn't think he's eating this because of haraz bezdin. He thinks he's eating it because of shuman. So since he's not tola b'das bezdin, there's no asiyas hashkaga, you know, in a parhelim davar shel tzibor context. And therefore, there's no Tala B'daz Bezdin. There's no shame Tala B'daz Bezdin. Is that what you meant? But that has nothing to do with being a... that's not the same as not being a Kabbalist carbon because he's a Gabra Russia.
No, but I'm saying maybe the son of Gabra isn't necessarily Russia, though, but maybe...
Why bother with the Gabra at all? Why not just say the conditions for the Ptura of Harlem Davar Shel Tzibur don't exist here? Or for being defined as a case of Harlem Davar Shel Tzibur don't exist here? And since there's Al Pidin, no Harlem Davar Shel Tzibur, so all there is Shkaga. I mean, Shigigas Maisa, like usual.
Right, but
on the other hand,
Shah Midyaza didn't say anything to help him, though, right?
What do you mean?
You say the Gemara, aside from that, also
has. But he's not a Rasha. All I'm saying is he's right. Still not a Rasha.
Oh, no, but I'm saying, but if Shah Midyaza isn't so much an issue of Rasha or not Rasha, but a guy doing tshuva or not doing tshuva.
What do you mean doing tshuva?
Well, the tzaddik is a Rasha. I don't know, maybe I'm in the wrong impression.
But when isn't he okay? But at the time of Havas Karban, doesn't he know that he did something wrong and isn't he contrite about it?
Well, not necessarily, because he might not have done enough wrong. He might not be.
According to the perspective that he's not really Tola Bedas Bezdin, then he did as much wrong as any other Shkaka case.
Well, I mean, even if he's not a Tola Bedas Bezdin, though, but he still wasn't mechuyev to think about it beforehand, and it wasn't like he violated, like when a shogeg is a chotev, because he's not negligent.
Right, but he's still not an anus. I mean, the point is, no one's saying that he's a tinek shenishba, or that he's...
Well, if we say he's not a shevet yasum, then maybe he is.
But not really. I mean, again, according to the tzad in the Gemara that says that he's not tola b'das bezdin, so basically he's not a rasha, he's not tola b'das bezdin either. I don't see what makes him any different halachically. Practically,
he's not a Bezdin, though, but he's not a Pusheya.
Either is any other Shkaga. If a Shkaga was a Pusheya, he'd be...
I mean, he's a Pusheya to an extent. He's a Chayta, I'm saying. There's a certain degree of Pusheya in every Chet that makes him a Chayta, whereas over here, there's no degree of Pusheya that makes him a Chayta.
Well, why don't we say it this way, then? But I wouldn't say it according to that day. I would say it according to that. That's what I mean by the other side of the coin, maybe. Let's say according to the perspective, again, tell me if this is what you mean. Let's say according to the other perspective we had, which is, let's say doing a chet in a state of shogeg is what makes you chayav a karban. And the question is, in Shav Midyaso, where the state of shogeg is just a coincidence, whether that integrates or not. Right? So here you might say, that even if generally, and here I think it's an interesting open question, even if in general we were to say that, I think in either direction, let's say we were to say that the reason that you normally take the Mumar perspective of Shav Midyaso is because you think it's not a din in Gram Shkagos, it's a din in Asiyas Adavar, right, in a Bitznae, or B'matzav Shel Shkaga. And therefore, from a shkaga, from a quality of shkaga point of view, he should be chayav a karban. The only reason that we think that shav midyaso is patur min a karban is because, therefore, we're forced to say, in normal cases, because he's a mumar. But here I might say, what you have is two shkagos. You have a shkaga ha-mechayeves, and you have a shkaga ha-poteres. So, it's true that he's oseb bishkaga. But here is also be shkaga hapoteres, as well as shkaga hamechayeves. And by virtue of the fact that he's also be shkaga hapoteres, he should be potter. I think, is that similar to what you're saying?
If he's a shkaga hapoteres, he should be potter?
No, even if normally... This is what I just think it a little different way. In other words, let's say what I'm saying is, I think what Sam is saying is, there's no Russia in this case. We've eliminated the Russia. He's not a Russia. He's just a cheerleader of Bezdin HaGadol, right? And he, you know, he's a righteous, admirable fellow in all respects. Shining light in the community. So the Rasha aspect, the mumar, in the kablin, karbonosav, that is eliminated completely. Right?
Yes.
So the question is, how will we explain the Deya? No, so if we, so that would explain, you know, why you should be chayav a karban. And that's what I say. Normally, shabbat yaso is a problem of mumar. And here there's no mumar. So he's chayav. Great. But how will I explain the Deya that says that he's potter? Right, after I've eliminated the reason for the p'tur. That's the problem in the sukkah. So the suggestion that's being made is part of what motivates the conclusion that Shev Nidiyaso is potter only because the Gabra is a mumar is the analysis that Ha'ose Aveira B'matzav Shel Shkaga is Chayav Korban. Right? And if not for the fact that he's a mumar, he would be Chayav. But here, even that, even though it's better in the sense that there's no mumar part, it's worse from the osa, the matzav shel shogeg part. Because he is osa b'shkaga. But there are two shkagos. There's a shkaga ha-mechayebes, namely nischalev shuman b'cheled, but there's also a shkaga ha-poteres. I wouldn't call it onus. I think what you're calling Otis is what I'm calling Shkaga HaPoteres. Namely, he's Tola B'das Mezden. So even if we say that, you know, Shav Nidiyaso doesn't affect Asiyah B'Shkaga, but there's still two Asiyahs B'Shkaga, what do you do when there are two Asiyahs B'Shkagas? If there's a Poteres and a Mechayevas, is he Poter or is he Chayev? That's one question. Or another way to put it, it might be just semantics, or it might be different, it doesn't really matter so much, is if you have to choose, you know, one or the other, one perspective or the other, so which one would you choose? By which I mean, if there's a halachic shkaga and a practical shkaga, and this goes a little bit to the question that that Avi raised on Thursday, right? When do you say, when there are two, didn't you ask me that? In the Mishnah Lamalas issue. When there are two together, right? When are you going to say the kulan? When are you going to? One is mechayev and one is poter, or one is mechayev more and the other is mechayev. Kind of like a helen zev zebiyada. We'll get back to an helen zev zebiyada again. But you know, when do you say when you have two things, one which is machmir, the other is mekel, you have them both together. They converge. So when do they converge the kulan? When do they converge the chomra? The answer is, possibly, when you have there can be several different solutions and strategies. One is, you know, in light of one, which is the dominant one? We're going to have this again in Helm Zev Zev Yada. These are different perspectives. But in light of the existence of A, again, like our Kamalei Bedravimine and radar screen perspective in a way. You know, in light of this Shkaga, is that Shkaga still significant? Maybe it only exists, you know, when it's the only one. That's one issue. Or, another issue, are we talking about a kula, you know, which is a kula because of its inadequacy? Or are we talking about a kula because it's a poter? Right? A kula, which is inadequate, which is then combined with something, which is mechayev more, right, is not going to hold back the mechayev. It's inadequate, but that's not a reason for its adequate partner not to realize its full potential. Right? But a kula, which is a poter, not based on inadequacy, but based on the koach ha-poter, is going to be poter, the adequate mechayev as well.
You can say either or for the sugi too, right?
What?
You could say either or for the sugi.
Yeah, I think for the second Oreos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying when you have, all I'm saying is from the perspective of Momar, forget about it. We don't understand the other Shifa. Unless they say that's Gufa, they understand that's Gufa, the Machalokas, and the Gemara, which could be also. But 2 days, whether you're Chayav or Potter, or 2 days, it's Shed Midiyasa, from the perspective of Gram Hashkaga, it should be Potter. From the perspective of Momar, it should be Chayav. That's exactly the Machalokas. Could be. But let's say you want to explain both sides of the Gemara according to both perspectives. Right, so what do you do? So the answer is, let's take the Mumar side. So one would think, if there's no Mumar, so what's the tzad to say that he is Potter? The answer is, the reason that we normally require Mumar to say Potter is precisely because we believe that it's not Gram Hashgaga that's important, it's the conditions of Shgaga that attach themselves to Maisa there, and they always do. Even in a coincidence, they do. But that's fine and good when you have a Shgaga and a Nezid, or a Shgaga and a non-Shgaga. But when you have two Shgagas, one which is Mechayiv and one which is Poter, that's a different circumstance. Who says in that case the Shgaga Poteris isn't still Poteris? And why should it be Poteris more than the one which is Mechayevis? That's the models that I'm recommending right now. It could be because in light of one, when you have a halachic shkaga, so the physical shkaga, you know, takes a back seat. Right? Or it could just be that, you know, one is the poteris, is always poteris, and always limits the mechayev. But for the same perspective, you could say the opposite. In other words, it's taken the other way. But according to the Man Amar, that normally it's gran shkaga. Right, so what we say here, right, after all, he would do it anyway, because of the Haraz Bezdin. So here, I think you have to say that it's a din in Horios, in Paralim Davishol Tzibor, and that relates to that line in the Gemara. Maybe that's what the line in the Gemara means. Gemara says that's not called Tola B'das Bezdin. Tola B'das Bezdin means when you're exclusively relying upon them. When there's another factor, that's not called Tolabadat Bezin, that's not Paral and Dovishal Tzibor anymore. So had you had another factor, Alpidin, you know, Hanami, you couldn't say Losha Midiasa. But you don't, that's not called Hora. That's not called Horaz Bezin, or Tolab Horaz Bezin. So the point is that either perspective could still explain both deos, perhaps.
Is part of the equation also here how you understand Paralim Davishal Tzibor and generally in terms of the relationship between Beis Din and Klal Yisrael?
But I don't want to get too much. We spoke about it a little bit last year in Sanhedrin issues.
Whereas the guy maybe obviously he's not literally considered a Mumar or a Rasha, but maybe
it's not a Mumar. Of course, to what extent is he even really responsible? In other words. Paral Davishal Tzibor, I mentioned last year when Sanhedrin. So if you look at just to highlight it, you know, if you look at the Torah Shabbat and the Torah Shabbat Peh, you get very different impressions as to who the you know, who's the Baldavar or the Karban. Right? Is it Bezna Gadol or the Kali Yisrael? In a way, right, it's Bezna Gadol are responsible because they're the ones who made the incorrect Taos. If you're talking about Gram Hashkaga, Gram Tos, Gram Havera, right? So you could put the blame squarely at the courtyard of Bez Nagol and Malicious Hagazis. Their fault. On the other hand, in terms of the Mais Havera, right, they're sitting in a base medrash and they're apostating. That could be dangerous thing too in that case. But and there'd be more hurrah, of course, not just arguing. Right? You know, that would be fine. Even Zaken Mamre can continue to argue. But they're being more hora. But it's the members of Klal Yisrael who are going out there, and you know, Rove Klal Yisrael Shem Eretz Yisrael, who are doing the Maisa Deira. So whose korban is it? So I think I mentioned last year also. This is right, there are two exceptions to smicha in a korban sibur. Right, one is the Sir Nishaleach in Yom Kippur, and the other is the Par Halim Davishal Tzibor. And I think the reason is because in both cases, you know, there's good objective reason why the people who are doing the smicha and the vidui are doing it. They stand out. It's not normally they have a carbon seaboard, so it could be anybody. Right. Everybody is equal in that carbon. But in the case of Yom Kippurim, the special role of the Kohen Gadol, not for now, and in the case of Paralim Davishal Tzibor, the role of Bezdin. It's not just that they're, you know, good shlichim for this particular thing. They're good shlichim because you know, to a large extent, they're responsible for everything. So whether we look at Parah and Dover Sol Tzibor as the carbon of Klal Yisrael, albeit with the proper shlichus of Bezmer HaGadol in Tzniha and so on, or we really believe that it's the carbon of the Bezmer HaGadol for their incorrect Parah, is a very important question. So if you look at, Torah Shemitzah reads one way, Torah Shemitzah speaks about Klal Yisrael. And, just look at Rashi, even in the Parsha. Rashi, every time he says, Bezin. So practically, or, again, the interplay between the two reflects this tension, this dialectic between the things. So in a sense, just as the question can be raised in a regular karban, regular chatas, regular shkaka, right? To what extent is the Maisa Vera Kobeya, or the toes from the Via Lidei Avera, the issues that we've been discussing, repeatedly in these studies. Something similar could be raised with regard to Parah and Dover Sol Tzibor, except that you might be machalic in either direction. For very good reason you might be machalic. On the one hand, the Bezna Gadol didn't do the Maisa Avera necessarily, that removes them more. On the other hand, they're more responsible, because it's a halachic harav that everybody has to listen to, then the toast is a greater responsibility than any other shkaka. So there are reasons to recommend Parah and Dover Sol Tzibor more and less in terms of these perspectives. So the short answer is it might be related, absolutely. And I think the question of Tola B'das Bezim, when that's the last resort, if there's nothing else, what happens when there are two things, I think all of these issues are connected to that, very, very probably. Okay. So basically, to sum up, the Sugin Horios is very challenging. There are two deos. It could be the two deos are the two deos about Mumar versus, or Rishis Agabra versus Gram Shkaga, possibly. In terms of the middle position on the Shkaga side, quality of Shkaga side, namely whether the Shkaga is Mitzarev, into the Maisa Beira, or viewed only as coincidental, I think here one can argue that Shkaga Apoteres, two Shkagos, as opposed to a Shogig and a Mazid, are just treated differently. And then the question of, one being more dominant, which one being more dominant, the practical one or the halachic one, that itself is a question. And secondly, whether, being a Poteres is different, it's not just less than being a Machayev, it's an active poter. I think these are all issues to play with. The question of Parah and Dover Sol Tzibor in particular, whether Tolev the Bezdin isn't the factor here, also comes into play. Now, in a similar vein, you have the Sugya in Yuma. Brian, where's the Sugya in Yuma? You see it? Okay. Sammy?
It says,
yeah, this is a famous Gemara that, if you do something and you think that you did less than the Shear, go ahead, what happens? You should write it down. Some Bezin will come and they'll decide that the Shear is different, and it turns out that you'll be Chayav a Karpa. Correct? Go ahead. So again, the Gemara says you're not Shavim Yasso because at the time when you did the Avera, right? So again, if at the time you did the Avera, you thought that this was not an act of Issa, correct? So is that a classic case? Is that like our case in our Sugya, here in Shabbos? Or they're closer to the Horios type case? Yeah, number one, if the critical moment, is the time of Havas Karbonos, or is it the time of the Maisa Avera? It seems in the Gemara there that it's not Maisa Avera, except of course it's a little bit different. The point is that the Avera doesn't exist. It's not a question of your attitude towards the Avera at its time or at the time of the bringing of the Karbon. At the time, chronologically, when you did the Avera, there was no Avera. And only at the time, maybe when you bring the Karbon, you go like Nosel of Afreya that it was an Avera. That itself is fascinating. But of course, again, there's no issue of Rishus Agavra here. Right, that's again eliminated from the equation. When we say he's lo shel midyaso, we mean he's lo shel midyaso because it's mutter, not because it's because he doesn't care and because he's a nezer. So this is the Gemara that the Rebbe Yosef Engel likes very much in his seminary. Look it up. He discusses it at some length. Actually, he has an interesting comment about Tosas and Chulin. He says the Tosas and Chulin that says the second day of Tosas and Chulin, the Einam Meniach B'Shvil HaIsur El Mishum DeNafsho Katz Alechol Dam. So the truth is that this Tosas is not really talking about Shavu Diaso so much. Well, it is, but the point of Tosas is more to explain. You know, how you have a mumar lechol haTorah kula, or the equivalent of a mumar for both, and yet there's no shav midyaso. But the Rebbe Engel zeroes in on the fact that this person is not going to eat dam mishum denafshur katsa lechol dam. He assumes that has nothing to do with shogeg and mezid. No, this is like this. This fellow has a fetish about dam, a physical fetish about dam. Now, he's an istanis when it comes to dam. Okay, he's a rasha as long as the day is long. After all, kalev and dam, say yisur, according to this perspective in Moses. Right, one shame. Right, he's a rasha, he's a mumar, with respect to it. The only thing is that lamaisa, he's not going to eat the dam. He's not going to eat the dam because of his... his taste, his physical taste. So he says, you see from here that and that's considered shev midyaso. So you see that shev midyaso, lo shev midyaso, is not about rishus. And if it's not about rishus in that direction, then it shouldn't be about rishus in the other direction either.
I think I even have it here somewhere.
I guess that was an interesting line. Kemo de chashiv shev midiyaso apapi she'edo machmas tzidkos libo rak machmas shenachsho kotza hachanami lehefuch roi lomar de chashiv eno shev midiyaso apapi she'edo machmas zodon libo rak machmas sibach eres kegon shayidi haisim oremes lehete. In other words, if Shav Midyaso is about tshuva or Kabbalah Sakarban or the Gabra, so then it should go in both directions. Right? The only time he'd be low Shav Midyaso would be if he was mazid. I mean, if he knew about it, he would still do it the mazid, knowing that it was usur, not caring that it was an act of merit. And by the same token, if the only reason that he refrains is for reasons that have nothing to do with the halachic status, that have to do with the physical attractiveness of the object, then that too does not qualify as lo shev midyaso. As shev midyaso, sorry. So I just want to point out, I don't think that that's necessarily what Tosas had in mind. Right. It could be that Le'inyan mumar, something is defined formally and legally as the mumar la'osa davar, because kelev and dam are in the same pasuk. Therefore, al-pidin, because the mumar la'zeh is a mumar la'zeh. At the same time, you know, he might be, from his point of view, he might be moreid in one and not moreid in the other. The pasuk says that nafsho kotza mizeh, I think Tosas is just trying to explain how could it be that lemaisa, how could it be lo shav midyaso from one and shav midyaso from the other. Tosas says that psychologically, he looks at it differently. I don't think it's psychologically, physically necessarily. It could be psychologically, halachically too, because he appreciates the Yisr Dam, he doesn't appreciate the Yisr Chela. So from the perspective of mumar and shame Rasha in a formal way, a legal way. Just like to say Mumar, you know, certain things as a Mumar Lachala Tara Kula, right, even though he's, you know, he's not, you wouldn't say he's mazed or compromises the degree of his shkaga in this Aveira. But it doesn't. People are strange, as we pointed out many times. Right, they're not necessarily consistent in their mahalas asuras or in their suras. Right? It's Yitro Tokfo and could be Libo Shalada and Mukatsameyam. In other words, I don't think you have to read the Tosis as saying that here he's Shav Midiyaso only for physical reasons. I think the Nafsho Katsameyam is also a religious reason. He appreciates and identifies with Isar Dam, even though he doesn't appreciate and identify with Isar Chela. So from the perspective of Mumar L'davar Echad, being a Mumar L'davar Echad, the formal legal status, he has it. But in terms of being a shogeg, or subject to tshuva even, when it comes to Dam, it's quite possible he's a shogeg. But again, based on the sugya and Yuma, he's already enamored with this idea that you can have Shev Midyasa, Lo Shev Midyasa, that isn't connected to Rishus, but is connected to other factors. He doesn't explain exactly what they are, at least not this part. So he comes to that conclusion. I don't think that one has to come to that conclusion here. Okay. Yeah.
Back to sugya and Yuma for a second. Is it possible that even according to Mand Omar, Rishus Agabra, according to which we would intuitively say that he's still Shev Midyasa, because there's no Rishus Agabra here,
right.
Is it possible if you take a certain perspective in Chas Hashir that he would still be considered?
Maybe. Again, that will depend on the issues that we discussed the other day. Yeah, in other words, to what extent Chas Hashir is the Isser or not. That's the same issues that we discussed about Zadon, Shabbos, or Shigigas Malachos, the Mishnah Melech. Yeah, I mean, if you want to say that Chas Hashir is just a Ptur V'Alma, and really is the actual Isser, even in terms of Rishus HaGabra, even though there's no Onesh and so on, and I guess in theory you could say he, you know, it's you know, it's a technicality that he wouldn't be Chayiv the Korban, you know, Bizman Hazeh. And then if he waits, and that technicality goes away, and the fact is that he's amazed in terms of the Maisa Aveira, so under those conditions he should really be Chayiv. I think so. But it would depend on those. And the whole initial Malach discussion that we had, and the Zadon Shabbos and Zadon Malachos issue. Okay. Let me just turn quickly to a few other cases. The Gemara Shavuos Daf Chavam Mebet, so we already mentioned that. That's a very perplexing case, but an interesting one. Eitan, what do we have in Shavuos Chavam Mebet? Right, he makes it, takes a Shavua, and he would eat a piece of bread, and then he's mitzvah. And he wants to eat that bread. So the question is, what exactly is the case there? So there are three deos, maybe more, but the three things I want you to look at. One is Rashi, Tosis, and Rabbi. This is just understanding what the case is. What is Rashi?
Rashi says that he was inspired with a reason that anyway he was new.
Rashi says, Nelma Menu Shuaso. But even if he didn't forget the, so he is a shogeg, in the sense that he forgot about the shul when he ate it. But he's so drawn to this piece of bread that even if you remember, it would have stopped. He would have violated it. Correct? Right? Okay. So what do you make of Rashi? Anything of Kudash and Rashi or not? Is that a classic case of Shabbat Yasa or Lo Shabbat Yasa or not? Tosus thinks it is. Tosus says, why do you have to bother with the case of Mitzar? We're not to say that he's Mezid. Tosus says, Rashi does say that it's Lo Shav Midyasa. The question is that. Tosus says, big deal. Why Mitzar? Nelu Menu, Bim Har Yodea, Har Osa, the Mezid, even the Mitzar. That's Tosus' question. So is there any condition of Rashi or not? I would say like this. In terms of Gram Shkaga, So it's clear that that's a classical case. Because the fact is that for whatever reason, he would have eaten this anyway. So it's hard to say, either from a Gram Shkoga point of view or being the Shkoga to the Maisa, not viewing it just as a coincidence. As far as that is concerned, it's a classic case, I think, of Lo Shavu Diyasa. Because he would have done it anyway. The bottom line is he would have done it anyway. I think where Rashi, where there may be a little chiddush in Rashi or some chance to argue with Rashi, again, Tosa says Rashi's obvious, you know what we need this case for. It would be better if there was some chiddush. Where there is some chiddush, maybe, Eitan, Zanagav about it. Why? Because even though he would violate, and he would violate against, he would violate, it would be against the law,
he's not doing it
out of rishus. He's doing it out of tzar. That doesn't make it less... it doesn't justify it by any stretch of imagination. But let's say we said that the problem of Shem B'diyasa really is a bit in Gabar Rasha or Mumar. So does it matter why he would violate? He would violate even without the Shkaga. And not because he's a tzaddik and he believes in Bezmer Gadol, and not because he goes according to the existing halacha of his time and not the change that will take place in 1,000 years when Desmond Gallo reconvenes and decides to change the shiurim. Okay. I'm not talking about either of those cases. Far from it. But still, there could be, once we say that this is halacha in the Kabbalah of Karbonoso, right, it's one thing to say, if you do it, Benezid, the Tsar, so of course there's no carbon. That's not shogeg. You didn't do it b'shogeg. That's called basic. But if you did it b'shogeg, but you would have done it b'tzar, as opposed to would have done it l'haches or l'tayavon, so maybe that's not enough of a rasha to exclude makabas carbonosa. Again, Tosas obviously doesn't consider that to be a factor at all. So he says, I just don't, says, why bother with this case? It's a classic Shem B'diyasa, most Shem B'diyasa case. But me, Chana Gavra, I don't know whether it's so obvious. In other words, could Rashi be saying, had it been that this halacha was Mitzara Gavra, then in Ochanami would be Lo Shem B'diyasa, it would be Shem B'diyasa. In the numbers there. Or it wouldn't be Lo Shem B'diyasa, that way to say. Because he's not a Rasha. He's not a good Jew. He's not going to get any prize. But since he did it for Shogeg, and he's not so incorrigible either, there's a Madrega to his pattern of doing Averas. And consequently, it's out of weakness rather than out of either Lahachas or the Teyavon. Maybe it's not Mufka from the Tshuva of Kapara of Korah. I think it's something to think about. And ironically, one might say something like that, Eitan, for Tosas himself. What's Tosas Pshat? He would love to, he forgets, and he's happy that he forgets. But he does it b'shogin. And had it been b'mezid, right? He would not have done it, unlike Rashi, he would do it in the Torah Tzar. But he, would have wished that he would stay in the state of Shkaga. In other words, he does it b'Shkaga, he wouldn't do it b'Nezid, but he's happy about his Shogeg. Nonetheless, the conclusion is that he is part of the Karbon, right? Lo Shavu Diyasa. If he had known the facts, he wouldn't have done it. So just because he's happy that he forgot, that makes him Moshav Midiyasa? Now, from a Gram Shkaga point of view, according to Tosas, is it Moshav Midiyasa? No, because the only reason that he violated was because of the Shkaga. In terms of the tziruf, of Shkaga to the Maisa is a full tziruf in this case, or is it coincidental? Full tziruf. Right? The only issue, and even then it's questionable, is Mitzad HaGavra. He's not a Rasha either. That's the irony, in a way. Maybe that's why Tosfos doesn't see it for Rashi at all, that it's a Chiddush. To see for Rashi that this is a Chiddush is probably at least to acknowledge that maybe there's a difference between, you know, a Mumar, somebody who would do it L'Hachas L'Teyavon, and then somebody who would do it the Torah's Mitzah. But Tosfos ends up saying even Halacha, Tosfos ends up saying much more than Rashi hints, you know, as a possibility. Because he's not going to do it the Mitzahar here either. He's not going to do it if he knows it's Asher at all. He just wishes he didn't know. So again, is he, you know, Oved Hashem of the year? Certainly not. It's not a good attitude. It's interesting. I mean, Ashkafa wise, it's very interesting. But he didn't do anything wrong. At all. If you knew the facts, he would have been Polish, like a good Jew should. It's almost like one of these tshuva situations, you know. Where somebody says, it's, you know, big issue of tshuva. He does tshuva, but he says, you know, I'm glad I got that out of my system. I wouldn't do it again. And I was looking back, you know, those experiences, you know, were meaningful to me, or pleasurable to me, or whatever. Right, so that in Hilchos Teshuva, that's a big issue. Right? We reject that. We say part of Teshuva is not only Kabbalah, see, but it's Nechama and Busha. Right? It's precisely rewriting your past too. It's not just about the future. In most religions, it would be enough to say, you know, let's look to the future. We also say let's look to the future, but the point is, we also don't want the past to be something that is corrosive. He said, "Makom she'bali tshuvah demen tzadikim tzmurim bechalul lamo." But the point is not because, oh, you know, I'm glad I got these experiences, even though I would never do them again, or I wouldn't do them now, knowing what I know now. But on the contrary, because, you know, having lived a certain kind of lifestyle, you can have greater appreciation. You know, having experienced a certain alienation, so you have greater appreciation for the potential of a life of kedusha. But without the nechama and the busha and the sense of rejection of the past, right, that's a problem. So in a sense, Tosfos is going to a giant step further. Tosfos is saying, by, you know, having this attitude that I wish I had done this bishkaga, this avera, right, he that's the initial of midiasa. That's remarkable.
Be something not only teshuva, but the fact that he had a desire that he wanted to do a teshuva undermines the teshuva itself.
Well, I don't think it undermines the causal factor of teshuva at all, and I don't think it undermines the tziruf of teshuva because the only reason that he did the signs was teshuva. But I think that it takes away from the kaparas karban aspect of the teshuva. I would agree. I think you can integrate. It's not really much different than what I'm saying. In other words, if he's happy about his shkaga, part of bringing the karma, the kapara of the karma, is the sense that so not only did he do my sadeira, but he's, let me say it this way. Ironically, shkaga hamiviyasa liday karban, which puts so much emphasis on not so much, not only the aveira itself, but what leads to it. Part of that, you know, in a way, makes having feelings of positive feelings of being in St. Thomas in Chicago, you know, self-defeating in the kapara. You're asking for the kapara because of the mistake, but you're really not unhappy about the mistake. You're not just asking for the kapara for reasons of the nice of aid. You're actually happy you did the mistake. So in one sense, you're asking kapara for the mistake. I think that's pretty much what you're saying. I think it's a very interesting attitude, yeah.
Can I ask, as a veneer, that it's Kol Shami Yasa?
It's
Kol Shami Yasa when you're in the Yiddish Pesimic style, and you've got it.
I mean, he passes the other way of the subject. Mm-hmm. Right. That certainly makes sense. But if you take this, it's not clear how he interprets the sugya, though, as I recall. I mean, it's not clear which of the pshatim that he gives. In the Gemara itself, it's totally ambiguous. As the Gemara just says, what happens, right? The Gemara says, what happens in this case? This is on Kavah. Right after our Mumbas come on, by the way. Boy, Mine Ravina Mirava, right? Nishba Lakika, Mistakin Olama. Where is it? Mistakin? Mishra Lema. Hello, Mitzar, the Achla, the Shigas Shvua Mai. Amalaitina, Shabmid Yasa, maybe Karban, Lashamid Yasa, and maybe Karban al Shigasa. So Rashi and Tosis and the Rambam all interpret that the Gemara is saying that he is. So they're all assuming that the Gemara's conclusion is that it's Lo Shav Midiaso, and then they have different explanations. Rabbi Hanano says, no, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it depends whether it's Shav Midiaso or any Shav Midiaso. So the assumption can be that he is a Shav Midiaso. But it's not clear, as far as I recall, how he interprets the case. For example, if you hold like Tosas, then I think it would be a double pashut that would be considered shav midiyasa. I think Tosas is a kiddush. If you'd hold like Rashi, then it would be a very good kiddush to say that this style is shav midiyasa. Yeah.
In Hurios, it sounded like you find both of the cases as being a mumar. You said that it sort of depended on whether the person task in the halacha is looking for him. I mean, it wasn't on a case-by-case basis, but rather more on a basis of entire halacha.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean. Say that again?
He sounded like he defined a mumar as being somebody who passed in that this halacha, that he raised it from his Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
Not that he failed to apply it to the particular case he's talking about. If this person's a messiah, then that means that he admits that he's bound by the halacha, rather feels that in this particular case, for whatever reason.
Well, that could be the point from the Rambam, right? That's the third shot. What is the Rambam Shita we mentioned before? The Rambam is the third shot. Not that he wishes that he's happy that he was shogeg. Not that, not like Rashi, that he's nela mimenu shvua, right? But also he would have violated as mitzvah. But the Rambam says his shgaga is that he thinks that mitzayir is mutter is allowed to violate the shvua. So that's the question. So what is the Rambam talking about? Again, in terms of Rishus Agavra, there's nothing to talk, there's nothing to speak about. Basically, he thinks this is the halacha. So again, according to the Nosei Kalim on the Rambam, what they're saying is. On the Gufo Shodavar, he is not a shogeg. His shkaga comes from a meta halachic issue. He thinks that mitzar is not just patam al suka, the mitzar is patam al shvua, something like that. So that doesn't make him a rasha, but what it very well may do. Is it takes away the factor of shkaga or dilutes the shkaga. This is called karav lemezid, or it's not a shkaga associated with this. The gufa shalisa is not a shogeg. I think it's also a very big kiddush, and what shkaga is. But that would point in that direction. Does that help what you're saying, or not really? I think that's a case where the issue of shogeg or mezid, well, it's not shogeg or mezid. The ta'us. It's not about the gufa shotavar, it's about a broader issue. You want to say that a similar chiluk might exist, but not sure if it's similar, it's a different application. Let's say he's a mumar, not about the specifics of this case, but he's a mumar about the principle of halakha. That's what you want to say? Only such a principle. That would be as a shino mumar, opposite parallels. One has to do with the quality of shkaga, but it's a chiddush in the quality of shkaga. The other would be a chiddush, I guess, in mumar, what you call a mumar. Which mumar is mufka mitshuva? Only an incidental mumar who might be amazed in this particular case if he had the choice, but it isn't something deeper and wider, or he has a certain stature to the mumros, I guess, of his Loshav Midiyaso. Maybe. That's just like Tosas has a very expansive definition of what a mumar is. Meaning even somebody who isn't Oved Hashem of the year, because he's happy about the shkaga that he did, even he doesn't deserve kapara. So too, in theory, Lo Shav Midiyaso, if it's about being a mumar, could have a very restricted definition. I mean, not just about this particular case, he would have done b'mezid. He would have done b'mezid because of his bad attitude in a more fundamental way. That's what you want to say? That's what you had in mind? Okay. Okay. Finally, let me just mention a few other cases. I already mentioned different perspectives. Bali Tosas in a few places have also very interesting cases, which maybe we should toss them. Again, the Tosas in Shavuos may work out well with Tosas' Havamina, maybe not the Maskana, but the Havamina in Chulin. Again, the Tosas thought that it was about Zevach Rishayim, the equivalent of Zevach Rishayim Taheba, and that maybe it applies, maybe Shavidyasa or Shavidyasa applies at the time of the bringing of the Karban. Again, all that works well with a Gabra orientation of Lashav Midiyaso, which I think is the only one that Tosas can have in Shavuos. But in similar vein, there are a number of Tosas in Krisis Daf Yud Zayin. The case there is Yehuda Yisod? Yehuda's not here.
Right,
there
right,
he is.
Right.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Yisod? Achal safek chirav safek shuma. But he ate it intentionally. Now he wouldn't have eaten it if he had known that it was vadai chirav. But he was willing to take the risk on safek chirav. Right? That's what happened. So Rashi says in that case that he's amazed. The achronim are bothered by Tosas. Tosas says, Achal Safek Shuman doesn't bring a korban because it's Lashav Midiyaso. Similarly, Tosas in Yevamos, Aplam Hei, saw that one? Okay, that's the person's Miyadim, the woman is Muberes. So again, it's basically the same case. There's a safek. He takes the risk. The question is, if it was vadai, he wouldn't violate. It's safek, and therefore the halacha is that he should be machmir and he shouldn't take the chance. But he takes the chance, and the question is whether that ruins him in terms of the ability to bring a korban. Yeah.
He's telling himself to dress a chumrah midrash.
Maybe. Certainly works better if the safek were chumrah. Again, I think the Rove Rishon would probably really hold that Safek Bechumra, aside from the Rambam, and maybe one or two others, but let's assume that for the moment. So again, in these cases, these are tricky cases because really from both points of view, one could raise the question. In other words, from the perspective of the quality of the Shkaga, it's also a little iffy. Because on the one hand, you know, he's willing to take a risk. On the other hand, you know, Bivada, he wouldn't do it. So there is a shkaga element in all of this. But it's not shkaga gemura. From a gabra point of view, I'd say it's also murky. He's not a rasha who would violate, you know, Bivada. But again, he's not up for candidate of Oved Hashem of the year either, because otherwise he just shouldn't be taking such risks. A, it's halachically usher to take such a risk. And halachically usher doesn't necessarily mean he's called a korban. It doesn't mean he's not subject to tshuva. But the point is that by behaving improperly, apparently, so I think Tosas here is very much like Tosas over in Shavuos, at least, in the sense that in both cases, he has an expanded definition assuming the post isn't working with the Shkaga part of it, but with the Gavra Varian part of it. So that's something to look at. Then there's also Tosin Shavua, Stop Yitzayin with base, to look at. Let's say a Shav Midiyaso, because of more than one factor. Okay, now I'm not going to go into details of that, that's a little complicated. Then there's also the Sugya on Tzadi Beis and Tzadi Gimel, rather, and Shabbos to look at, but I'm not going to go into that as well. Okay, that's just the formulation of the Rajba, which is well known. The Rajba says that Eino Shev Midiyaso is somebody who is Roy L'Katas, but doesn't bring L'Katas. It sounds like the Rajba almost explicitly is again taking the view that that the conditions for Shkaga are not undone by Lo Shav Midiyaso. There's some sort of extraneous ma'akev. That ma'akev being the, I guess, the status of the Gavra or Kapara or Tshuva. So this is an important issue. There are many other issues to link it up to, but this is the basics. Okay, let's begin. I'm sorry that took a longer. Let's begin the next topic. Let's get the basic questions out. Yeah. Rajma? Rajma says that somebody who's a Lo Shav Midiyaso, even though he's Roy in the Chathas, but he can't bring one. It sounds like he thinks that it's not that Eino Shav Midiyaso Al Pidin is not considered a shogeg, like the Kiddush Aran. And those are shown. Namely, if the Mechayiv of the Karban is, and being a Shkaga means that the Toos was Gorim the Aveira, so if he's in a Shav Midiyaso, that means the Toos wasn't Gorim the Aveira. The way Rajba formulates it, it sounds as if he's Roy to bring a Karban. It's a special halacha that we don't let him. But it's a problem in Kabbalah's Karbanosa. Not that the Mechayiv isn't there, but that the Kiyum HaKrava is not allowed. And that would work well with, you know, within the Gavra. Says quotes I hate now.
Right.
There's some other factor, and it's not related to the Gavra either. How do we know that Al-Hoda Eilav Chataso isn't precisely the question of the role of Shkaga in the Aveira, either as a causal factor or as a tziru factor? Yeah. How would it be separate from that? Do you want to say it's a separate halacha? And that's different than saying, see, I just don't know, I guess in theory you could say such a thing. But I'm not sure what you gain by that. I don't know why the reason for requiring the Yediyah HaParesha wouldn't simply be because the Yediyah is precisely what is Goreng Lechatas, or because if he doesn't have a Yediyah HaParesha, so it's a problem in being the Kabbalah's carbon of the Gavra. I mean, you could formulate it that way. I'm not sure what advantage. I'm just saying the explanation of why we need Yediyah HaPareshes could very well be, that's how I understood Rashi, because it's the Shkaga HaMiviyas of the day Achet, which is Mechayet. So if you don't have Yediyah HaPareshes, then you don't have that. So what advantage do you gain from saying that it's a separate halakha of Yediyah HaPareshes? I mean, when we get to Chiluk HaTos, I will suggest, and I have before, that maybe Yediyah Zached is part of the Mechayim, as opposed to Shkaga HaMiviyaso, in a way, but that's like a nuance of it. It's the finding out, oybe, that triggers the contrast between what you didn't know and what you now found out. perhaps triggers the karma. And I think that's possible within the world of Shkaga, but I don't think, I'm just trying to figure out whether it affects the issues that we've been speaking about in terms of Shabbat Yasso and Shabbat Yasso. Do they all just reduce to the same? Doesn't that just end up overlapping with the other two? What do you gain by it? What motivates you to say it? What? As a formulation, it's possible. And I'd say in Chiluk HaTos, I think it is a little different. And just in Hashkafa-wise, just in explaining, you know, what triggers the carbon, I think it's a little different. Not just the toes that caused it, but the contrast, you know, the finding out now, you know, the impact of that toes. The Diyah Pareshas. I'm just saying in Hilchos, Shav Midiyaso, and Shav Midiyaso, that doesn't overlap with the other two points, how does it help? Think about it. If there's something that helps, I'd be curious. It might help. Maybe you could solve some of the other problems. Okay. Let's at least begin. Yeah.